Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. One more hour to go here. And, man, I'm blown away. I'm looking at all these images on the Weather Channel, and it's just outrageous. Cars are floating, and, like, with ease. They're just moving right on down the road. Crazy, man. So, hopefully everybody stays safe. That's number one. I wish your property the best because I'm seeing it, dude. It's already washing vehicles away. It's gonna do this all day and tomorrow too, right? It's supposed to stretch into 2 days. We shall see. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Angel, let's get to today in the National Football League. It's a lot of injury stuff, a lot of injury news. I told you about Myles Garrett. They're not ruling him out. That's crazy to me. He's already set to go after the car crash, so he'll be good to go. Your game tomorrow night, Angel. Your game is this. We're picking up some steam with the trash talk here with Tyreek Hill, Eli Apple, all of this. Now Bengals cornerback Eli Apple. We know he's kind of getting into it. He's got an obviously crazy feud with Tyreek Hill, but now his teammates are kind of backing him up, saying, "Hey, we got his back. You know, we're gonna be there, ready to go if Tyreek Hill starts some stuff." They're building it up for Thursday Night Football, Angel.
That's cute.
dude, I don't know. Bengals are favorites.
Worry about Tyreek all you want. I got a penguin on the other side to say something.
The Bengals are favorites right now. That's crazy to me.
I saw something that this is some kind of NFL gambling conspiracy that the Dolphins are the better team, but the Bengals are going to be favored so everyone can get money in on them. And I don't get it. The 4-point spread doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
I could see Bengals being favored, but not by 4 points.
Okay, I'm asking you to be subjective here.
Sure.
Or objective, something, objective of some
kind. Objective.
Are the Dolphins the best team in the league?
It's hard to argue. They beat the Bills, they beat the Ravens, they beat the Patriots. That's not much.
Who is the best team?
If it's not the Bills, then if it's not the Dolphins,
I don't know if the Dolphins are for real. I don't know. But right now, if you're just looking at what we've seen so far, who's better than the Dolphins? It's not the Chiefs. Not after what we just saw against the Colts. Not right now. Not after, 3 weeks of football. It's nobody in the West. It's not the Bucks. It's not the Packers. I got to see more.
I don't really think it's Philly either. Not after who they played.
Somebody put Philly, I saw, was it CBS or something, put Philly as number one. Philly's the best team in football?
It was like Philly, Buffalo, and then Miami, which makes no sense.
I mean, you have to go with what you know right now, and what you know right now, the Dolphins are 3-0. And what did I say after Thursday night about the Bills? It's like, at some point, they're not going to do that. They're not going to roll teams like that. Well, 2 weeks later, they already lose.
And they got the Ravens this week.
This is why we don't overreact after Tanner Schwinn. I'm talking to you, Mr. Good Morning NoCo.
Mr. Fire the Coach.
Day one, fire him. Day two, they win. Oh, I love him. Give him a 10-year deal. Day three, he's fired again. So that's why you got to slow down on this. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson is medically cleared. He's going to start against the Steelers. Are the Jets going to do something here? I mean, is that crazy?
I think it's crazy. I think we're still kind of waiting to see what Zach Wilson will be as a quarterback in the NFL. Mm. It'll be nice to see him, back on the field, get some action. But as a Jets fan, are you like, maybe we should keep Joe in there? Like, maybe. Like, he...
Joey Flax, man. I would go with you. Well, again, if you're coming off injury, I wouldn't mind giving it another week. You could give it another week to clear him and see, make sure he's fully good, and then see, is there any juice left to squeeze out of old Joe Flacco?
You know who the Jets play next week.
Who do they play next?
The Dolphins.
Ah. Interesting. Are you worried about Joe?
About Joe?
Yeah, Joe. Average Joe Flacco.
You know, we kind of had a little shootout with the Jets last year with Joe Flacco in there. So the Jets do play the Dolphins pretty tough. I'm not going to lie.
I kind of want Joe Flacco to be good. I want him to be good. Somebody tweet, I saw a funny meme. It's like, it's amazing to see all these young quarterbacks thriving. That showed like Lamar, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and then Joe Flacco. Right there
still
in the
got
mix.
It, man.
Well, and of course, John Elway didn't help the legend of Joe, because when we got him, it was like, he's still in his prime. And he was bad.
He was like fresh off a Super Bowl.
I don't even remember that time. Like, the Joe Flacco day, it was like my mind was just a blur. I blacked out that year.
For a while, you probably thought it would have been Osweiler was going to be the heir apparent. Houston paid him all that money for no reason.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm one of those guys that's like, the Brock Osweiler thing, what could have been? Seriously, I think if he stayed in Denver, who knows, man? I mean, maybe Vance Joseph still has a job. You know, he stays in Denver because he was supposed to be the guy. Didn't really like how things were. It comes out since, though, and he said he regretted not picking up the phone. Elway did call him. He called him, but it was too late. So Brock was like, dude, they're not calling. I don't know. They're not making me an offer. I want to be here. So I'm going to put a deadline. Here's my deadline. And I guess, and his agent specifically told Brock, if they don't call you by that deadline, we're moving. We're going somewhere else. Didn't call by the deadline, called like a day or two later, and Brock was at dinner, saw the phone, said that was one of the biggest regrets. Didn't pick up the phone.
Wow.
Didn't pick up the phone and talk to John Elway. I would have loved to see Brock Osweiler. In two stints, and again, his second stint. By that time, he was quarterbacked out. Houston ruined him. All right, what's going on with this Aaron Rodgers thing? He's stealing some signs from the Jumbotron against the Bucks. What's happening?
Yeah, so Rodgers had made a comment following the Sunday afternoon game against Tampa about maybe the Bucks shouldn't have put something on their Jumbotron that may not have been up there. And everyone started wondering, oh, what did he see? What did he see? And Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. He does like a weekly thing with them. And they asked him about it. And Aaron kind of danced around it a little bit. He didn't really say specifically what it was. But what he was kind of alluding to was not that he saw a specific play or anything. He was seeing possible hand signals on the sideline for Tampa. And Aaron said he went over to Matt LaFleur in the D.C. and was kind of talking to them about, hey, I saw this on the Jumbotron, you know, keep an eye out. So I don't know how much it impacted the game, but he wasn't, like, looking at calls and plays on the Jumbotron, you know, studying them. He was looking at hand signals.
And he said he saw some of those on film, which they're not, to my knowledge, they're not supposed to have, like, film directly on the coaches, which is what the Patriots were kind of trying to do at one point, right? You have to, it's just stuff that you can take from the actual film, like the sidelines when they show them on the sidelines. Because you could do that. Theoretically, fans at home could see signs on TV, write them down, and if you see it again, you could maybe play a game where you call out the play.
And this might not be coaches. This could be players, too, on the field that he sees.
Yes.
Because players do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, so no big deal. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this. Rodgers, hate him, love him. I am thoroughly entertained when I hear Aaron Rodgers talk. Just anything that guy says, he could be describing the weather. And I'd be like, I'm all in. What do you got for me, Aaron? Why is weather weather? And then he would just go off.
He could probably tell you, too.
He probably could. I'm entertained by the guy.
Drink some tea with him and you'll figure it
out. I would love to drink some of that crazy tea with Aaron Rodgers and see what kind of journey we go on. All right, that's today in the NFL. I guess I didn't hit this one, but would Christian McCaffrey's hurt again?
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey did not practice today with a thigh injury.
So we're talking about Christian, you know, missing the bowl game. Yeah, I had to bring him up. I think that debate's a fun debate. Dixon, dude, you just don't get it, do you, Scott? You don't get it. He was texting, we were talking about that question of, you know, football players, should they play in the bowl game if they know they're going to the NFL? And the whole Jay Norvell thing came up. And he texts this. If you're worried about getting hurt in bowl games, you should be worried about getting hurt in the last few games. No, because then you can take that even further. Then you're worried about getting hurt in any game. So just don't play any game. Just get a scholarship and don't play football. I mean, no, it's a bowl game. What I'm saying to you, Dixon, is the bowl game is meaningless. Everything else is. The bowl game is meaningless. So that's where that's it. I'm just telling you, that's the difference. For a coach, it's not meaningless because you're getting paid. I guess Jay Norvell didn't coach in the bowl game. I don't recall, but according to this Nevada coach, he didn't coach in the bowl game, correct?
I can't remember thinking back on that hire. I don't think so.
I don't think so. So, and if he didn't, I mean, that sucks. I mean, finish your job. If you're not fired, finish your job, then go. And I know you want to get the leg up and start working, but you committed to the team, coach the bowl game. You're being paid for it. If you're Christian McCaffrey, you know you're going to the NFL. If you don't want to play the bowl game, great. But I know the regular season is different. That's the season. Those are the games, conference games. Whether you're going to a bowl or whether you're going to qualify for a bowl or you're a playoff team or you're terrible. So he brought up CSU and he's like, well, let's hypothetically say Christian McCaffrey's playing for CSU right now. Would he? Would you be okay if he just stopped playing now? No, I would not be, because he has nothing to play for. They're not going to be a bowl game or bowl team. They're not going to do anything crazy. But you committed to the team, either transfer or play football. If you make it to a bowl game, that's the thing. I'm telling you, hammer that one in. The bowl game is meaningless. You made it, great, congratulations. You got a new iPad or something, great, neato. But I don't care if you win or lose that game. I just don't.
Yeah, and in terms of these transfers, like just for CSU as an example, how many of these guys are upperclassmen? How many guys have been here for 3-4 years and they want a shot somewhere else? Maybe they don't want to be part of a rebuilding program.
Yeah, who? Stovall? He is, I believe, he has 1 year left. Or now he has next year, but now he has this year still because he's transferred out. So. That's the thing, like, you know, the naysayers, I'm getting tweets and messages from guys I'm not going to name, former guys with the program, are like riding every move. Oh, he's leaving now. He's leaving now. This is terrible. He's leaving now. If you thought this was going to be better, you didn't realize the offensive line was going to be that bad, and they are, and now you're looking at going, dude, I got a year left. I need more than a year to try to build up on my resume. I don't want to be a part of this rebuild right now. And maybe you're good next year, but I can't chance that. I need 2 years. I need this year of eligibility. So I'm transferring out because I've only got so long. That part I don't have a problem with as much. I mean, it's not ideal. You commit to the team, win or lose. But these guys, not all of them are shoo-ins to go to the NFL, dude. So if you're saying I got 2 years to try to prove that I'm good enough to go to the league, well, if you're a wide receiver and your quarterback doesn't have time to throw you the football, you're not putting anything on tape. So that part, I do understand. I get that. Other than Wright, not one of our defections are truly difference makers. I mean, right now, you could say.
Anybody making a difference?
Right now, it's Torrey Horton, here's a who. Like, that's the only guy. I just like that. I don't know if he likes that nickname.
Trademark that yet?
I'm going to trademark it. If they're bad, it's Torrey Horton, here's a boo, you know. And then if they're good, Torrey Horton, here's something. He's the only difference maker on this team right
here's
now.
Here's a woo.
Yeah, he hears a woo. There we go. That could be a new whole show a meter that we put up on the site. Did Torrey Horton hear a boo, or did he hear a woo? We could come up with that. Torrey Horton's the only guy that I would say is a big-time difference maker on this team right now, based on what we've seen in 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, excuse me. It feels like it's been 90 weeks with this team. I'm not, like, the transfer thing doesn't really scare me about Jay Norvell at all. Even this story with Nevada, like that coach coming out saying that he was telling guys to not play in the bowl game and just to go to the NFL. I don't know. It doesn't scare me at this point. Smitty says, Bam was a 200-pound linebacker. McCullough racked up 596 yards and a touchdown in 4 years. Yeah, I mean, none of those guys. Now, if Clay Millen up and says, I'm out, I'm scared. Because I know for a fact Clay loves those guys. So if he up and leaves as a freshman, then you've got issues. If Torrey Horton leaves, who is apparently going to bat, for Jay Norvell, which I love. You know what? Now that I think about it, we played that clip from the Nevada head coach. Sour grapes. Boo-hoo.
It's bulletin board material for next week.
It's sour grapes, man. I mean, if let's say I'm Jay Norvell, and you're Torrey Horton. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm leaving. See ya. And Torrey's like, hey, I'm probably going to go to CSU. I'll go with you. Cool, man. Should I play in the bowl game? That's up to you. But if you get hurt and you end your season, you can't. It's going to hurt you for next year. Or let's get you ready and just get you going up here. What would be the advantage, other than hurt, to tell them to not play a bowl game? Is there any advantage?
I have no idea.
I don't think
they're. Think of anything.
I can't think unless you get up here to spend more time with our program, but I don't know when they actually get there and all that stuff. I don't. It's not major enough for me. Dude, I don't. Do you have any red flags about Jay Norvell? Like red flags. I'm not talking. I'm kind of concerned. Like actual red flags that's leading you to believe that maybe Jay Norvell's not the guy.
Not really.
Other than X's and O's.
From his hiring up until now, you listen to his press conferences and all that, and he has the. You know, The mentality's there. His mindset is there. He has an idea of what he wants to do at CSU. And it's just a matter, I wonder, with these transferred players and players that are still there, how much has Norvell communicated to them the severity of this rebuild? Is he saying, hey, guys, we're basically starting from scratch here. If you want to be a part of this, be a part of it.
Yeah.
If not, you know, best of luck to you. Or is it, hey, guys, we're trying to get started, you know, get going. We have a foundation. We need to build up on it a little bit more. Where's that? Where's the severity of a rebuild?
Do you think he realized his O-line was as bad as... I mean, because what can you see in practice with your O-line that, you know, that really would alarm you? Because how much are they really going at it with your offensive line up against your defensive line? How much? I don't know.
Well, especially during the season, because you're not doing, you know...
Not
you may
as
do
much,
one
yeah.
day of full pads.
Right.
And even full pads for a lineman... defense and offense, you're not going all out on each other.
Well, and if your defensive line is bad and your offensive line is bad and they're going up against each other and the offensive line wins some, the defensive line wins some, in practice, I'm just like training camp, how are you really evaluating if they're good or not? And again, I know these guys they look deep into this, they can figure it out, but I don't think anything in training camp told anybody, and I'm saying including probably Jay Norvell, that this offensive line was that bad. I mean, it's bad. That's the worst thing on this team. I don't think we underrate offensive line anymore. We used to. We don't anymore. We all talk about it. It's important. If you have a bad offensive line, nothing else matters.
Well, we saw Patrick Mahomes run around the Super Bowl, and that, all right, you need an O-line.
You need an O-line. If you don't, I love a good cornerback. I love the four pillars, Angel. Give me two pass rushers, two great corners. That's my foundation for building a defense. But if I don't have an offensive line, nothing matters. If my line is not good, nothing matters. Smitty texting in about says losing Wright was huge. Other than that, don't let the door hit you on the butt. Well, and yeah, Dont'a Wright didn't make sense for what Jay Norvell's trying to do. He wants wide receivers that are 6'2" plus. You know, that's who he wants. Dont'a Wright is what, 5'10" or 11? I don't know. So it just doesn't make sense. Sucks because he was a fan favorite, but all this stuff with the Nevada coach coming out, and he even what he was saying was, oh, well, that's just what I heard happen. I don't like that either. Why stir it up if you don't know for a fact Jay Norvell was telling players to not play in a bowl game? Like, why stir it up?
And
why
for the
go
reporter
there?
Reporter to even bring up Colorado State. Like, I get the connection to Jay Norvell is there, but... They're on a bye week.
Yeah, they're on a bye week. We don't even have to get there yet. We're not there yet. Why are we talking to CSU? Why is Nevada talking to CSU now?
Maybe they're scared.
Man, I want them to win so bad, Angel. I want CSU to be good now. I'm impatient. Last year sucked. It was awful. I hated it. Steve Adazio's brand of football, normally on paper, I kind of like, but... If you can't do it like Wyoming's doing it, and you can't do it like Air Force is doing it, then I don't want to see it. I don't want to waste time on that. So I was ready. Let's air it out. Fort Arid, let's go. But when you don't have a good offensive line, man, you can't air anything out. You just can't. 24 minutes after the hour. And I am hearing again, for those of you just tuning in, Kevin Lytle telling us that that Clay dressed out yesterday. But he wasn't throwing any passes. Let me get that for sure here. He was in uniform for practice, but not throwing. In uniform means a good thing, and you got to buy. So I would imagine, and again, I think he said Jay Norvell pretty much said it's day-to-day. Well, if you're day-to-day and you have a week and a half to go, you're probably going to play. The coach was playing... to his audience, a bunch of Homer, Nevada reporters. Yeah. I mean, trust me, if you're a Nevada fan, that's what you want to hear. You want to hate Jay Norvell. You don't want him to be good, and you don't want him to be a great guy. You want him to be terrible all the way through. 25 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKN.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Hey, we're going to have my whole show player of the week, presented by Zvi Brewing, Elijah Dotson on the program tomorrow. Susan and Cheryl love that. He was on the coach's show last night, but we're going to get him on again. He's my player of the week. We got to, it's ideal if I can get my player of the week on every week, but, you know.
He had a good game on Saturday. He deserves the two times on KFK.
I think so. That's what you get. You get the two times, man. We were talking about this during the break for UNC. This feels like a game where in the past, you know, hey, we're getting our hopes up. There's a little nugget of hope here. This feels like a game where in the past they'd come out and just get blown out and then the rest of the season's terrible. This is a big moment. This is a big weekend for the UNC Bears.
Certainly, and there's a, they have a lot of momentum coming in, not just off of last week's game, but the Lamar win. You even go back to the Wyoming game where they played tough for 3.5 quarters of that. This team believes in themselves, and I think they believe in Coach McCaffrey, and that's really, you're seeing a different attitude about this team. It's being tied 14-14 at half, and you're not down on yourselves. It's, all right, we're in this game, let's go out and win it. It's two big plays in the fourth quarter that boost your entire team morale, where you leave a game against Idaho State feeling great about yourselves.
Yeah.
Now it's, okay, we're on the road, us against the world, let's go beat Idaho.
And you do it. You do it in front of your homecoming crowd, so that was cool. I'm trying to find their schedules over the years. Like, when's the last time they won two? Did they win two? They won three last year. Were any of those in a row? Did they win two in a row? I'm trying to see, like, where their schedule was. And let me just say this while you're digging it up. Those of you worried about Jay Norvell right now, look what's happening with Ed McCaffrey. I mean, you had a situation at the end of the, you know, what was it, in the spring? I don't know when. Where there was an article written about how bad things are in the Tribune. Kids are transferring. It's not a good environment. He doesn't know football. And that was bad. And then, of course, you know, there was some really nasty stuff being said about him messing with, you know, their scholarships and stuff, which that proved to be absolutely false. But now look, you got a team that's 2-2 and they kind of believe in themselves. So again, you have to weed out the people that don't fit into your vision of what a football program should be, whether you thought they did or they thought they did, but it changed because they got to know the system and it just didn't fit. It's like a job. Sometimes you think that's the perfect opportunity and it doesn't work out. So that, I think, is a good thing for Rams fans to be paying attention to. Buffs, on the other hand, you've seen enough of Carl Durrell. I don't know if it's going to get much better. Did you find their seasons and stuff?
Yes. So the last time the Bears won two games in a row was back in 2018. They beat Northern Arizona at home and then beat Southern Utah on the road.
What was their record that year?
2 and a lot of losses.
Okay.
So those are the only two games.
So they won two in a row, but the rest of the season sucked. So obviously that could happen. We knew the schedule was going to be different, though, right? For UNC, Idaho. How good is Idaho?
Idaho's like bottom of the middle of the Big Sky. I'd say UNC is probably the top of the bottom, if that makes any sense.
Top of the bottom, yeah. Well, I mean, right now,
if you put the Big Sky into three tiers, UNC and Idaho are like right next to each other.
Idaho beat Northern Arizona 27-10 last week. And then they beat Drake.
The singer?
42-14. I was thinking of Drake, the dude Joey plays in Friends. That's where I was going.
Dr. Drake Ramore.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. 34 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. Let's check in on the latest with the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, Kevin Lytle tweeted this out from Jay Norvell's press conference. A couple of things that I want to get to. His response to what Nevada's coach said about asking players to leave or not play the bowl game and all that junk. Jay Norvell says, I don't even know what he said, to be honest with you. I'm not even concerned about really who we're playing. I'm more concerned about our team and growing and developing this team. So no, I'm not going to comment on that. Also, about the roster changes and people leaving the team, here's what Kevin posted in the Colorado. And if you want to check out that full story, here's what Jay Norvell said about that, about having seven players who are seniors, fifth year, or graduate players leave the program. Quote, I started the season talking to these guys about the past and how they could change the past, and it amazes me that all these guys who are playing and starting don't want to play anymore. Kind of shows me that we're playing with, or what we're playing with, what we were playing with, and we were depending on people who we probably couldn't depend on. I come from the school of, I want to give people the opportunity to show who they are, what their colors are. We gave a lot of guys opportunities, and unfortunately, they didn't want to take advantage of them. We continue to move on. We have a lot of good young players. We need the reps, who need the reps, and are going to get an opportunity to play. I mean, that says it right there. Seven players who are seniors, fifth year, or graduate, basically saying, we didn't realize it was going to be this deep of a rebuild. We're out because we're not good. Now, like you said, though, was it sold to them that, no, we'll be competitive? And they still may. I mean, it looks pretty dark and bleak right now, but they still may be competitive. But, you know, and I listen, if Jay Norvell said he thinks that they were going to be good, I don't think anybody could have predicted the offensive line issues. They've had injuries there, and they just haven't been good. So you can't predict that sometimes. Sometimes guys just aren't good. You predict Brock Osweiler came back to Denver, and we thought he's going to get a second shot, and he was terrible. Sometimes players, units, whatever, just aren't that good, and you thought they would be, and that happens, and that's what you're dealing with, along with injuries, with this offensive line. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I was asking you during the break, dude, is it a weird question to... Could you see like a shark or something being washed up into the streets during this hurricane? And you literally found a video today. It was like Fort Lauderdale or something?
Yeah, Fort Myers.
Oh, Fort Myers. Just seen one of the forts. Like,
just scrolling through Twitter, looking at, you know, hurricane updates. And a person filmed a shark swimming in the street. Because you had asked about, can sharks get swept up in the storm? Yes, they
like
can.
Like big ones, do you think? Do you think a great white shark could get washed up onto somebody's yard?
I mean, they made like seven Sharknadoes, so it could be possible.
That's based on some kind of truth, yeah, right? Every movie is based
on
some kind
of
reality.
That and said, oh, we can make a blockbuster hit.
No, that had to have happened in some form. That would be sweet to get a great white shark wash up, and then like 2 days later, it's still there, and the water's gone. You just go punch it. Be like, dude, I caught
a
great white shark. You know, I beat him up. He wasn't in the water, but still got him.
Is this for Jaws?
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I mean, there's a reporter out there. I think he's just trying to show.
Did he get blown away?
I don't know. He's not there anymore. He's like trying
there's
to
like
show how windy it is.
Down.
And he almost gets knocked over by like a tree. Something's blowing at him in the street. And he's trying to show how windy it is. So he's walking, and it's a wide shot. You couldn't pay me enough to be a reporter out there.
Well, they give him a hard hat and some headphones.
And that's the most dangerous, right? That's when things are going to get crazy, if you're out in it. I mean, if you're in a car, get into a... I mean, hopefully he's like, they're close to wherever they need to get into. Because you do not want to be in a car. You don't want to be driving. You can't. You literally cannot be driving. So hopefully they're fairly close. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Broncos Raiders week. I mean, it does feel like this rivalry is renewed a little bit with Josh McDaniels being the Raiders coach. And, you know, this is a scary time to play the Raiders, Angel. I think with everything that's gone on with the Raiders and close games and how they lost to the Cardinals, I still don't know That was the weird comeback week in number two, right, when all the comebacks were happening. But this feels like it's must win. What is the stat? Teams that go 0-4, like how many teams actually make the playoffs after you go 0-4? It's not good.
It's not very good. Even 1-3 is not great.
So 0-4, I mean, you're basically done already. And the Raiders had high out. I predicted the Raiders to be near the, like I said, Broncos, Chargers will be the top, and then the Raiders, Chiefs will be the bottom. We'll see how that works out. But I thought the Raiders would be much better. Now, what's the win loss thing here? What's their overall record? The Vegas Raiders lead the series 69-54-2. Tying with the Raiders has got to be miserable, and that happened twice. You got to start getting that number up, man. I mean, it's time. You know, Denver lost to them last year both times, right? And
I saw somewhere Denver hasn't beat them on the road in like 7 years or something. I'd have to research that, but I thought I heard that somewhere.
Didn't do it last year. Didn't do it in 2020. Didn't do it in 2019. Didn't do it. I mean, they haven't done it a whole heck of a lot, man. I mean, they beat them. The last time they beat them was 2019. Is that right? They beat them at home, 16-15. That was kind of like the Niners game. They won obviously a whole heck of a lot of games against them. Leading up to 2015, they went on it, dude. They went on a tear from 2011 to 2015. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They won 8 in a row, and that was, of course, with Peyton Manning. Then they lost to them in 2015, 2016. They've only won 4 games against the Raiders since 2015. How about that for a stat? You beat the Raiders 4 times. Your hated rival 4 times since 2015. Last time before that was when you went on the crazy streak. Whew. Got to do something, man. Got to give Javonte Williams the football. Like that, the trust that Hackett has with Melvin Gordon. Check this out. If I can find this real quick. Benjamin Albright. Looks like a 55-45 Javonte Melvin split with some Mike Boone sprinkled in. Keynote, Melvin's getting the situational work. Goal line, short yardage, etc. Why? Why is he getting the situational work, the most important work, over Javonte Williams? When Melvin is a proven fumbler. Javonte had a fumble, but it was similar to the butt fumble. It was very rare how that happened. That's not going to happen a lot for Javonte.
I guess the easiest answer is just experience. But you're not going to get experience in those situations unless Javonte gets the ball on 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get 7.
Yes. I don't care if you trust Melvin because he's the vet. You shouldn't, first off. I mean, I like Melvin. I'm glad he's on this team. I like him as a 2, but I don't want him as a situational guy. Not all the time. You know, you're in a key situation, 3rd and 2. Yeah. Give it to Javonte Williams. You're on the goal line. Even though Melvin got the touchdown, you could have ran through that hole, Angel. You would have busted through there. But I'm going with Javonte there. I thought that, even in the win, I thought that was a big mistake. Even in the touchdown, I thought that was a big mistake. You have all this trust to Melvin, who fumbled twice in that game that you recovered. And I think, didn't he fumble the week before? I know he fumbled, obviously, against
Seattle.
He's
fumbled like every week.
I think
so
he's
far.
Fumbled. The football has come out of his hands every single week. It's worse than I thought. Doesn't mean I want him gone. I just don't want him to be my key running back.
And does that take trust away from Javonte, where he thinks, oh, the coach doesn't trust me in this situation. It's a big time game. We got to win the game. You don't trust me out there?
Yeah, I mean,
imagine he wants to be out there.
He's their best player on offense.
Truly.
I think he is. I mean, Cortland, you could say Cortland, but Javonte's the best player, one of the best players on this team. Patrick Surtain's probably the best player on this team. I don't know. Who's the best player on this team? It's not Randy Gregory. Is it Javonte Williams? It's not Randy Gregory yet.
Either Surtain, Wilson, or Williams.
Yeah, Wilson ideally will be. You want him to be, but I mean, yeah, Justin Simmons has been out, so like right now, best player on the team. Patrick Surtain's probably up there. Gordon had only one more fumble than Williams last year. Williams was a rookie, so there you go. And the analytics say Gordon is more effective historically in the red zone. His fumble in Seattle was him trying to extend to reach the goal line on fourth down. I don't care what the analytics say on that. I know.
Fumble.
My eyeballs tell me Javonte Williams hits person, falls forward for 5 yards. Melvin Gordon hits person, maybe will fumble. He's not going to fall forward for 5 yards. He's going to fall down and maybe move around and make something happen. But odds are my eyeballs tell me that Javonte Williams gets football, gets yards. That's it. I don't need analytics. Don't even need to look at him. Javonte Williams, give him the football. He's going to get you yards. 48 minutes after the hour, what's on tonight? And closing thoughts coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Mike Kliss tweeted, Bradley Chubb said this about the Raiders. I hate them. To be honest with you, I hate them. There's only a few teams in the league I hate, and they're one of them. Because every time we go there, it seems like it hasn't gone in our favor. It's always a tough game. Do you think they really hate them? I mean, I think in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, teams you hate teams because of you actually hate them because you get into it with a certain player and they're fighting and stuff. But I don't think like I don't know if teams just like hate the logo, hate the Raiders, or do they just? It's like who did Mike Evans get in the fight with Lattimore? They hate each other.
Yes.
And those teams probably care. That hate flows through them. Let the hate flow through you. Those teams probably hate each other because of that. Like, that's hate. Sports hate. Do the Broncos really hate the Raiders?
Is the hate stronger for the Raiders or the Chiefs?
I think it's the Chiefs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is so good, he's annoying, right? That's when you start to hate teams. Look at you. You hate. You don't like Josh Allen. You don't hate him, but.
I don't hate him.
But he's so good.
I respect his game.
But. It's you root against him more than you do. I don't know. Maybe the Patriots. I don't know. Do you know?
Not anymore. They're irrelevant.
That's what I'm
now.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Like it's whoever the best is in the league, and then you start to hate them, and they become annoying to you. Tyreek Hill did the backflip into the end zone. That stuff makes you hate them a little more when they're showboating. The Raiders. It's Derek Carr. You know. I mean, it's Russell Wilson 2.0. I mean, it's good old guy Derek Carr. What's on the tube tonight, Angel? The Rockies and the Giants. Hey, mathematically, I can still get my 72. There's 8 games left.
And 6 of them are against the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. And then you have playoff hockey tonight. Not playoff hockey, preseason
like,
hockey.
Wait a minute.
Oh, not yet. Preseason. Why did I say playoff hockey? Colorado and Las Vegas going out at 8 o'clock on NHL Network tonight. So there you go. I'm giving you an opportunity. If you don't have DirecTV, you can watch the Colorado Avs play Las Vegas tonight. So either that or you can watch the Rockies and Giants. That's your call. Preseason hockey or very bad, meaningless baseball for the Rockies. You tell me. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.